Hello and welcome to Not So Molly Mormon Podcast.
Hello, welcome back everyone. This is Sarah.
And this is Katie. Hi. Hey.
Hey.
Hi. I know we were just chatting, but how are you doing, Sarah, for the sake of the listeners?
For the sake of them. Yeah, good, good. I was just telling Katie about my Easter break, and we were chatting about kids as usual, and that shit's wild. Yeah, we had a great, well, I'm not going to say great.
I was going to say, wow, you're taking some liberties.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. We went to Northern England, so the Lake District for anyone from this area-ish. It was beautiful. It was like a 6-hour drive. Well, it's like 5.5, but with the kid, it was more like 7 hours because you got to take breaks and stuff. Really beautiful, like countryside, beautiful hills, sheep, horses. We were in an old farmhouse, like stunning, right? But when you have a kid, it's not really a holiday. And then he got a stomach bug from the soft play that he was at the day before. So that 7-hour journey on the way back, he just threw up. And it was fantastic, guys.
Oh, how fun cleaning that car afterwards.
I know, it was my mother-in-law's car, too. So I was like, sorry. Sorry about it.
Sorry, but your grandkid had a stomach bug. Enjoy that.
But it was really good. And I thought of you, Katie, because you know how we always talk about the fact that I don't like lamb? We don't always talk about it, but and that yes. You like lamb.
Yeah, but you, I have an issue with eating lamb. I feel bad about it because they are so cute, but I will eat it.
I know. See, I just don't like the smell or the taste at
all. It is kind of gamey. Did you have that over the Easter holiday?
Yeah, so one of Greg's cousins is Scottish and lives on this island, the Scottish island called Egg, and they raise their own organic red.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
I'd be all aboard that.
Yeah, so she brought over from her own, like, I don't know, what do you call it? Not like, what is a group of lamb or sheep called? Herd?
Is it a herd? I don't know.
Anyways, she brought over some lamb. So every night we had lamb and I was veggie that whole weekend. It's like, I'll have a vegetarian option. So I had veggie moussaka, veggie cottage pie, and they roasted 2 legs of lamb for a Sunday roast. And I had the nut roast instead. So there you go. But I was thinking Katie would like this. She would this little lamb.
That's lovely they made a vegetarian option.
Yeah, thankfully there was like an actual vegetarian in the group, so I didn't feel bad being like, oh, I'll take the vegetarian option too.
Yeah, you're going to need a few people to eat it, so. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
What did you have for your Easter dinner?
I made coq au vin. I have to say that without trying to giggle because it's the, you know, coq au vin is French for... Yeah. Chicken cooked in wine, and it was very nice. It was very lovely, and it was just me and Scott, and I was telling Sarah it's kind of the opposite of her hectic Easter zombie Jesus Day weekend. We just chilled, but it was very nice.
Oh, that's, you know what? Sorry, I'm going another, like, do you, what tradition, and you guys let us know as well, because I don't know if it's like a Southern thing or an American versus UK thing, but when you do an Easter egg hunt, what do you hide?
When I was growing up, we hid, or the Easter bunny or whoever hid for me, the plastic eggs with candy inside. And then I would usually also get, that would sometimes be hidden, like an Easter basket that had little treats in it.
Okay.
What about you?
So it's the same. So it must be like an American versus British thing. So I went all like, I was like, oh, I have to get Rory a basket and little treats. And you put it outside the door beside his bed. So when he wakes up, Easter bunny's there. And Greg was like, we don't do that in the UK.
What do they do?
They just say they don't do like Easter baskets as like a surprise or like a treat, like the Easter bunny. It's just you have maybe an Easter egg. Like they do these big Easter eggs here. And then when they hide Easter eggs for a hunt, it's like the actual cream eggs, like the chocolate
eggs. Oh, okay.
Which I was like, what? So you don't have like ones that have like toys in it or like a prize egg with money. And they're like, no, you just hide cream eggs.
Cream eggs.
Like, okay. So all that to say, we have a shit ton of chocolate at our house.
Well, that's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah, it's so much. It's sickly too. It's so sweet.
Oh yeah, I haven't had one of those in years, so.
Oh, they're so sweet.
But I have my. I'm in a great mood. I'm so happy to be here with my bestie, and I got my not hot chocolate. Who am I, Mormon? No.
Who are you, Mormon Katie?
I have my coffee. Excuse me, and I just had. This sounds so dorky, but I just had one of the best fucking oranges that I've had in a really long time.
I thought you were about to say orgasm. That's where my brain went. And I was like, wow,
well, honey,
Katie.
I'm not at that level of sharing on the pod yet, but maybe with enough coaching, you'll get me there.
Okay, so you had an amazing orange.
I had an amazing orange, wink wink. No, it was very delicious. It's I feel like it's given me life, and I'm so excited because I wasn't sure if we were going to record today or this week because of so much going on, and thankfully Sarah found some time and we're here, and I'm excited for this episode. I think it's gonna be a fun one.
Oh, I'm so excited. Katie messaged, she's so flexible as usual because my life is a hot mess and my schedule is all over the place, so she's so flexible. And yesterday she was like, okay, don't look at Instagram. And I was like, fuck's sake, you should have never told me that. Because now all I want to do is look at
Instagram. I know. Every single time I'm like, I debate. Maybe I'm like, just don't tell her. But I don't know how often you would randomly just look at it, maybe in the middle of the night if you're up with Rory. Yeah. So I wanted to be like, no, you're forbidden. But then I do know, you've told me before, that that makes you want to look at it more. So did you have self-restraint?
I did not. I refrained. That's not a word. I reframed.
I withframed.
No, I did not. Although I almost did accidentally, because you know, on like your Instagram, because you have two accounts, it just on your iPhone shows like a notification.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And I clicked
yeah.
on it, and it went, and I saw that it was switching my account, and I was like, no, abort.
Oh, you are so honest. Look
yeah,
at you.
I see it. No, I didn't see anything. And I saw that it popped up on my stories, like on my personal one. I was like, I can't look at the story.
Look at you. I'm very impressed. That is a lot of self-control. Yeah,
it's like the only self-control I have in my life at the moment.
Okay, before we get into it, I just have one new patron to shout out, Frankie. Hi, Frankie, spelled F-R-A-N-K-I. So adorable.
So cute. Hi, Frankie. Thanks for joining us on Patreon.
Yeah, I must say, our patrons have really, like, cool and cute names. Have you noticed that? I know. I'm obsessed. So thank you all for supporting us on Patreon and hanging out with us over there. We love it over there. And if you guys want to, if you're not on Patreon yet, just go over to patreon.com/notsomollymormon. And for as little as the low, low price of $2 a month, you get access to all just hundreds of bonus pieces of content, whether it be videos or audio or photos or whatever. So check it out if you would like.
Check it out. It's fun times as well.
It is. So today, Sarah.
Oh.
We are going to be talking about Mormon language. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Ooh, this is like right up my alley.
I know. You're going.
Love anything about language statistics.
That's Tell right. Me. Yeah. Sarah has studied this, you guys. So Mormonism, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, uses very unique language that seems completely normal when you're in the church. But when you leave the church, aka the cult, you realize that a lot of the terminology is completely bizarre. And I think this episode will be very interesting to both ex-Mormons and never-Mormons alike, because as ex-Mormons, we're going to be like, oh yeah, we thought that that term or that word or that language was normal. We absolutely, quote unquote, knew what it meant. And for people that have never been Mormons, they're like, what is this weird shit that Mormons say to each other? And they just seem to understand.
I am so excited. Like, my inner nerd is just like hanging out right now. But also, Exactly that. I find even, okay, this is not really a tangent, so hold your horses, everyone who's yelling at me to get back on track.
Can I say, I love when you use the term hold your horses. It is so Georgian of you, and it fills my heart with glee every time. Continue.
I was reading it. I did nighttime with Rory today because Greg was out, and I was reading him bedtime stories. And I purposely do it in a real thick Southern accent because I
Yeah.
want him to start saying things in a, because he already goes, "Mama," and I'm like, "I love it so
Oh,
much."
that is glorious.
I know. Anyways, so I was thinking about something similar to this topic today of like how, just like even if you watch the Book of Mormon, like those of us who are ex-Mormon are going to get all of the jokes and a lot of jokes that a lot of people won't get because they don't have the background context, but also so the terminology, like some of the jokes
Right.
like play on words and that, like it's weird Mormon shit that it's just funny. But also even, you know, we talked about this in our little chat about David Archuleta's new song.
Oh, yes.
I listened to it today because I remembered I was like, oh yeah, I wanted to like really listen to it again and listen to the words and the lyrics. And it really like side note, maybe super emotional. Like I cried again this morning listening to it. And then I listened to it like three times. I was like, it's a beautiful song, but its language and context and so like the lyrics are really Mormon doctrine based, right? And so like
Right.
how many people are really going to understand the depth of this song and like what he's talking about and the meaning
Oh, I
outside of
am
Mormonism.
so proud of him, and my heart just swells for him. I love him. And David, I know that you're listening. Just kidding. I'm like, come be on our show. I love you so much.
Please do. Like, honestly, his story is so
Oh,
emotional.
it
It's
is.
incredible. And I'm sorry, David, for in the past being a bit of a hater because I was like, ah, you're representing the Mormon Church and you should use your platform to, you know, break it down. But I get it. You were going through a lot of shit and it was hard. And
He went through it, and now he's talking about it in the most sweet way that an ex-Mormon could, and yet he's still getting hate. I feel like we should maybe do another episode all about that.
oh, I went down a rabbit hole today. I'm so down for that. It was
Okay.
very, yeah, we need to.
Yeah.
Anyways, all that to say, back on
Yes, that's a
track.
great point. The
Yeah.
terminology that can resonate with someone, especially who grew up in the cult, you're like, oh, that word or that phrase, it's,
Yeah.
triggering me in a way. So, to a never-Mormon, these terms are viewed as odd and confusing at best. Mormon language is also sometimes can be very over the top and obnoxiously frilly. Think conference talks, right? The language sometimes used attempts to make the content seem more profound than it really is. So I took to the internet and I asked our lovely, amazing followers to submit some uniquely Mormon terms and language for us to talk about today.
Oh.
So I thought it would be fun for me to read them and then see if you, and we can chat about it, but if you can give us maybe the context in which these terms or words might be used within Mormonism and how they might be viewed as super weird. We can talk about how they might be viewed as super odd to someone who's never been Mormon. Like, what does that mean? Or why do you use that phrase? But to us as ex-Mormons, we're all going to be like, oh yeah, that's something we said or heard on a regular basis and just thought that it was
Oh my God. Okay, super pumped.
normal. Okay. The first one that was by far and away the biggest one submitted. I mean, hundreds of you said this one, and this is maybe the top one for me too. Nourish and strengthen our bodies. Please bless these brownies that they will nourish and strengthen our bodies. And please bless the hands that prepared it.
Oh my God, you guys, this one is definitely, you know, sometimes I still like when I'm about to eat, it doesn't happen often, but it just pops in my head. Like I like close my eyes instinctively and I'm like, oh, you know, nourished. And I'm like, what am I doing? Or anytime I hear the word nourished. Okay. So you guys, so context on this one for those Nevermos and potential listeners who maybe haven't heard us talk about this before. This is what all Mormons say when they bless the food.
Yes, when they're saying their prayer, yeah, like Sarah would say, bless the food. They always say, please bless this food or this meal to nourish and strengthen our bodies. It's never just nourish our bodies. It's nourish and strengthen.
And strengthen. And like Katie said, it'll literally be like a munch and mingle or any type of activity where it's like sugary Coke and sugar drinks and all the sweets. I'm talking about like
Rice Krispie treats, donuts, cookies, yeah,
ice cream, everything. And they'll legitimately like, I never could even take it seriously as a Mormon. They'd be like, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that thou hast blessed us with.
You're getting into so many more. It's so great.
Thank you for this activity that we were able to come together as young people in the church surrounded by good examples, and for the activity where we learned so much and strengthened our testimony. Please bless over this food that it may nourish and strengthen our bodies, that we may continue to grow together in the church and strengthen our testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Oh, you nailed that. That was exquisite, and that is perfectly, like, to the Never Mormons, she's not being cynical or over the top or facetious. That is exactly how it would go. She even did it in the perfect order of like, you give thanks first and then you ask for the blessings of the nourishing of the brownies.
Of the brownies. And then everyone will legitimately say amen at the same time.
And you all have to be folding your arms with your head bowed. And if you look up and you make eye contact with someone, it's like, ooh. You gotta be repentant.
Exactly. And then you'll eat that brownie and be like, ooh, I'm all good. Nourished and strengthened.
It's not just a sugar high, it's the Holy Ghost. You kind of touched on another one that people sent in, which was the term Heavenly Father. And especially someone sent in, our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father.
Kind, gracious Heavenly Father.
And I just died because that, continue.
No, that's it. Like, it's always like, you know, we are so grateful for your love and your kind, like all of the things, our dear, kind, and gracious.
Didn't it almost seem kind of like a, well, for lack of a better term, like a pissing contest of like, how flowery can you make your intro to your prayer? Instead of just saying, dear Heavenly Father, if you say, our dear, kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, people are like, oh, damn, she's righteous. She's feeling that spirit today.
It's so true. And when you went into that tone, it instantly like made me think of General Conference. Like,
yeah,
now we're going to have someone say the closing prayer. And you hear the little silence in the mic. And then, our dear, kind, Heavenly Father.
Oh, I just got the squiggly wigglies. Oh. Okay. The next one that came up by, this was probably the second one most said, was when people in prayer, they use the term moisture instead of rain.
Do they? I don't know that one.
Oh my God. Okay. So maybe this is a Utah thing because this is every single time I've heard, you know, thousands of prayers. If it rained, in part of the prayer, they'll say, we thank thee so much for this moisture. They never say, we're thankful that it rained. And I don't know why that's a thing.
I have never heard of that one. And that gives me, what?
Like, I know. Why? Where did that start? And odd. Imagine. I mean, you think it's weird and you grew up in the church. But imagine being a Never Mormon being like, someone in that house prayed for moisture. What does that mean?
Yeah, and also,
who needs to get moist where?
You know, my brain went there.
I know. Another one that was just like a funny term is cultural hall.
Yes. I did not realize how weird that was until, oh, I think, who was I talking to? It might have been Greg when we first started dating, and I was like saying some story, and I was like, oh, and we were in the culture hall, and he was like, what? The culture. And I was like, actually, is it Culture Hall or Cultural Hall? And I was like, I remember like going like, huh, which one is it? Like,
let's be honest, it's a glorified indoor basketball court.
It's all it is, you guys. It's an indoor basket with sometimes a stage.
Yes, and these are for Never Mormons. These are inside the Mormon chapels. Yes. So that makes it even weirder. There is a basketball court with a stage, and underneath the stage is where they keep all the extra chairs. And besides basketball games, you'll have activities in there. Like, that's where you'll gather as a ward to have a potluck. Or sometimes you'll have young women activities. But for them to call it a cultural hall, excuse me, there is really nothing cultured about that room.
Like, at all. No, it's like, right? In fact, the opposite. It's just as white and lacking a culture in every way.
In every way. I can smell it. But yep. Anyway.
And we talked about this before, the wall is this like, I don't even know how you describe it. It's like, you know, the yarn or the twill or whatever it is that you used to like wrap sometimes presents or like packages. Mm-hmm. It's that, but on a wall.
It's like it's really thin industrial style carpet that they've plastered on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the texture, the smell, everything. I can just,
Oh, okay. What does it mean when someone says, oh, she's a sweet spirit?
She's ugly.
Why? That is such a mean one, but we all know that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you would hear it and be like, oh, she's such a sweet spirit. And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's similar to like, bless your heart in the South, but in a different kind of vibe. Like, bless your heart's kind of like the, oh, fuck you. Yeah. And then the, oh, she's such a sweet spirit means, oh, she's just not very good looking. It's like, that's mean.
Dateable. Yeah. It's like, ugh. Oh, she's a really sweet spirit, but I'm not interested. And you're like,
Say what you mean to say, bro.
Exactly.
Okay. What does it mean to avoid the appearance of evil?
This means you can't have a Starbucks hot chocolate because that's the appearance of evil.
Ding, 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 ding. You're doing so good at this. Yes, everyone. So this means, don't even take a picture and in the background there's a Victoria's Secret store. Yeah. This means, don't have anything that looks like it could be in a beer mug, even if it's not beer, for example. Yeah. So,
like, this always makes me think of when I moved to Berlin as a Mormon, right? And it's very big in even the more like the Mormon culture in Germany to have alcohol free beer. Like, it's just, they drink it all the time. And I remember first being like, clutching my pearls, like, it's the appearance of evil. You're not allowed to have alcohol free beer. And then they were like, no, it's fine. Like, it's totally okay. Like, you know, you'll see our bishop even drinks alcohol free beer. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I started drinking it there, and they have like alcohol-free wine and all that stuff. So I was like drinking it, and I remember, this is so nerdy, it came up on my stories the other day, or like my Facebook memories, and it was a picture of me as a Mormon with my alcohol-free beer and wine, but I had to put in the caption alcohol-free.
You had to make sure.
Avoiding the appearance of evil. And then just from that post alone, I remember my mom got really upset about it, and there was like quite a few like Mormons who were like, it's the appearance of evil.
Girl, can I tell you something? And yes. I might cut this actually, but this made me remember. I actually think one of a friend, a person that we both know, and I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah.
I believe one of them said something to me when you had posted something where you were drinking something out of a wine glass. And they were like, they said something along the lines of, like, is Sarah drinking alcohol now? And I was like, I don't know, nor do I care, because this was quite a while ago. And that just triggered that memory. I didn't even remember that until just now.
But there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is why a lot of Mormons, they won't even drink like sparkling water or Martinelli's out of a champagne flute, because they're worried that people will think that they're drinking champagne, the appearance of evil.
Oh, and how? It's all about, so it's that, and then exactly what Katie just said. So they would never say that to your face. Sometimes they'll comment, or like sometimes they'll message you directly, but then it's like, oh, like all the whispers, like, oh, have they like left the church? Are they like drinking now? And
the gossip is intense in Mormonism, you guys. I'm sure many of you know that, but I'm so happy to not be a part of that anymore. That gossip culture, it's exhausting. Okay, this one is specifically, they said this is specifically from a never Mormon. What the fuck is frick? It tickles me.
I just always think of Mormon missionaries for some reason. They always like frick. Oh, frick.
Yeah. So if just you guys like,
fuck, but yeah, it's freak.
Freak, frick, fetch, flip, or fudge. I feel like. Fudge. but they will not say fuck.
No. God, it's heck. It's dang. It's shoot. It's
shiz.
Shiz. What's some other ones?
There's a lot. Yeah. But I want to add into this one so Scott's niece, who I claim is my own because we're engaged, she's so amazing. She's a senior in high school, and she was not raised Mormon because her mother is also a badass. So hi, Ree and Natalie, if you're listening. But she replied on the poll on Instagram. She was like, when they say frick, I just want to punch him in the face. I was like, yeah. It's like, why are you saying frick? I would just not say it.
It's so true. Just don't say anything at all. Like, just don't.
And how funny that there's still like the F and the CK, but the fact that you've replaced it with something else in the middle besides a U, now it's supposedly okay to Celestial Jesus. It's so petty. So petty.
Because Celestial Jesus, who knows all the languages and is all-knowing, really cares about the fact that you changed
I'm so glad that McKinsey said frick instead of fuck. She can come to heaven now.
I will allow her to find her car keys. You're welcome.
Phew. All right. What does it mean when someone says the adversary?
Satan.
Yeah. I just, the things you don't even think about. Like, of course, to us, we're just like, yeah, that's Satan. But to anyone else who didn't grow up in Mormonism, they're like, I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, and also I was even talking about it like last night to, so we had this like work social, and in my team, I have like a new joiner, relatively new. And so she hasn't heard the whole like, oh yeah, my boss has a podcast type thing. So I was like trying to keep it a bit more under wraps these days. And she was like, so someone mentioned like you have this like Mormon podcast, and I like looked up Mormonism, and I was like, oh boy.
So boy, here we go.
She started asking me questions about it, and then I said the one thing like, yeah, you're not allowed to research it because like if you do, you know, we were taught that like the adversary or Satan would like control you or possess you, and I could just see this like glaze on her face of like, girl, what?
The glaze is something that I see so often because people are so kind and sweet and want to be interested, right? And they'll ask me questions about the podcast, and you get even more than a sentence in of trying to explain something, and the glaze and the confusion just is like, I'm like, oh, I need to stop talking. I sound like a Looney Tune.
I can just like hear like the Oscar music saying like wrap it up, like just
wrap done. It up. I'm so glad we have that in common. Yeah. And these people are trying so hard to be like interested and supportive, but sometimes you just start talking in about the adversary and Joseph Smith and the head in the hat, and they're like, what's going on? I can't keep up.
I can't. And also, especially when there's like drinking involved, like when people are drinking, it's just like, no, you can't. You just need to keep it real sweet.
And sometimes if I've been drinking and they ask, then it's hard for me to keep it short and sweet because I'm like, ooh, this is my passion project. Let me tell you all the weird things. And then it's like, I can hear myself in my head, like, Katie, slow down. If they want to know, they'll listen to the podcast. Like, don't talk their ear off. It's okay.
It's okay. Or resisting the urge to be like, well, because when they ask about like, so you're ex-Mormon, it's like, wow, you should listen to the podcast, because then you come across that as a, like, that tool that's like, hey, I have a podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, I try to avoid it, but
then it's hard because I'm also so lazy where I'm like, I don't want to explain. It's gonna take so long. Just listen to the podcast.
Right. I know. I know. Okay. So what do these terms mean? Visiting teaching, home teaching, and ministering.
Oh my God. Oh, this is so weird when you think about it.
So weird.
Oh, it's so weird. Okay, so home teaching and visiting teaching. This is a construct where it was like the men were home teachers,
mm-hmm.
and the women were visiting teachers. And every yes. month, so you had a visiting teacher partner and uh-huh. a home teacher partner. So it was a pair. You always like missionaries and like, you know, disciples, everything. They always come in a pair, the witnesses. Mm-hmm. And then you had visiting teachees and home teachees who were assigned to you. So these are people you had to visit once a month, and you had to like check in on them, see how they're doing, and give them a lesson.
Yeah, it's not just like, hey, I want to be your assigned friend. It's also, we have to do this awkward prayer and I have to give you a lesson.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's like this really, it's so awkward. It's so awkward because truly. You have both a home teacher and a visiting teacher. And it's just obvious that the only reason why they're doing it is because it's pure obligation. Like you are asked, have you every, I don't know how many times, maybe it is once a month, like, have you gone visiting teaching? Did you mm-hmm. meet them? Oh, you haven't. Okay, let me mark that. You didn't do it this month. So it's literally just to like check yes or no. You don't actually care about the people most of the time. It's just
And it's another control tactic of the church, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, it changed from visiting teaching and home teaching to a few years ago, they just changed the terminology to ministering is what it's all called. And
I realize that.
Yeah, and that's just, I think, a PR move to sound more Christian.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, what does CTR mean?
Choose the right.
No, it means choose the redhead.
Oh, that's true. It's so cute. Choose the redhead.
No, choose the right. Yeah, so if you're never Mormon, yeah, they even have rings that have CTR on them, and the little kids are taught choose the right. There's a song, choose the right when a choice is placed before you. Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't actually mean choose the right. It means choose what the church would want you to do.
Yes. That's all it means. It means choose what the church wants you to choose.
Yeah.
But the rings were legit, you guys. Everyone had a ring. It was a mm-hmm. thing. You went to the temple store, picked out a ring and your scripture case, and you were fly.
Yep. Yeah, you had to wear your CTR ring. Definitely. Okay. This one irks me so much. Line upon line, precept upon precept.
Oh, God.
This, I feel like, is the Mormon excuse as to why they don't have answers for things. So you can ask someone, how come we don't know God's answer to such and such, which might be like, why would God expect, if he loves all of his children, why would he expect his gay children to be celibate? And their answer would be, well, we just don't know all the answers yet. That would be revealed in time, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's just such a cop out of like, well, God hasn't given us that line yet, so we're just waiting to know why that's his decision.
Yeah. Now, I haven't even really thought about that one, but now it's like
I hate it.
Back to my Utah days. I think that is used more out west. I don't remember hearing it as much in Georgia, but I do remember like, exactly that.
It's just like an excuse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this one is so Mormon to me. With every fiber of my being.
Oh my God, that is a testimony talk right there. I bear my testimony that I know the church is true, and I know that Jesus sacrificed his life and atoned for our sins, and I know that to be true with every fiber of my being.
It kills me so much because I do not hear that phrase outside of Mormonism. Do you?
No.
It is such a Mormon thing to say, like, I know I know that this church is true with every fiber of my being. Like, first of all, you don't know shit, bitch, because you can't know a religion. You can believe a religion. But to know it with every fiber of your, oh my God, it's so cringy. And I'm sure I said that at some point.
Oh, I know I said it. I'm sure it's in one of my journals.
You've got to go through and find. Oh my God. Oh my God, that would be such a treat. All right, here's one that's funny. A lot of people sent this in. When people use the word even, so instead of just saying Jesus Christ, they'll say even Jesus the Christ.
Yeah, you know, okay, that's a big pet peeve of mine, actually. Yeah,
what is that?
I don't, like, again, English nerd here, and, like, grammar is my jam. That's what I do. Like, I never understood that. And I remember reading it in, like, conference talks, and then also just anytime you would hear it. And I was like, why are we saying that? Why? It doesn't, grammatically, I was just like, I don't, maybe it makes sense. Maybe it is a rule, but it doesn't, you don't hear it outside of Mormonism. Like,
I've never heard it outside of Mormonism.
Even the Christ, or even blah, blah, blah. And I just be like, well, this is literally doesn't make any sense to me.
Even Josh Christ.
Even Josh Christ.
Even the Idris Elba. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It drives me absolutely bonkers. I hated it. Even as a Mormon, I'd be like, this isn't making sense to me. I don't like it.
Yeah, and that's one of those that I feel like they use to try to sound more, what's the word, just fancier than they really are. Okay, now these three, I have a story, so I'm going to read them in a row. I'm going to tell you the story, and then we can dissect them, okay?
Okay.
So to preface this, I was making this list, and I was talking to Scott about it, and I was like, do you know of any weird Mormon phrases? And he said, like, oh, they say frick a lot, right? And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, here's some that people sent in, for example. And I said, take out your endowment, hold to the rod, and burning in the bosom. And he kind of looked at me weird, and then he goes, well, I'll take out my endowment, you can hold to the rod, and I'll make you burn in your bosom. And I died. I was so excited to tell you that. Because he just heard the word endow, and he was like, oh, you call me endowed? You want to hold to my rod? Because, of course, he hadn't heard those before. He's like, that's weird.
That is so good. That is so good. Okay, I never even thought about that, the word endowment outside of Mormonism.
Okay. So take out your endowment. What is that?
That means when you go through the temple and you start wearing your garments, basically. Like, there's a whole ceremony.
Isn't that just such a weird way? Like, it's like, take out. What are you taking out?
Yeah.
And why is it called an endowment? And also, even the term that you just used, that everyone uses, which is going through the temple instead of going to the temple.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I was saying that again last night to my team member, like, as I was saying, like, oh, I even went through the temple, and I could see again the glaze of, like, what? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a weird way of saying it, like, going through the temple. What does that mean?
And taking out your endowment. And all of us Mormons were just like, oh, this is common language. And everyone else has no fucking clue what you're talking about. Okay, what does it mean to hold to the rod besides, you know?
Besides holding to the rod. That is the analogy that was in Lehi's dream. So it was like, you have to basically be faithful and never stray.
Yeah. You have to stay on this path, and so you're supposed to hold on to an iron rod that was in the scriptures that helps you follow the righteous path. But again, very weird verbiage.
Yes.
And then burning in the bosom.
Like feeling the spirit, the Holy Ghost, and knowing it's true.
Yes, because burns those boobies.
Burns them. Burns those titties.
Okay. What about necking and petting?
It's so true. It's so Mormon.
So Mormon.
Oh my God. So you know what? I didn't even really know what, like, I didn't know what necking and petting was for a long time as a Mormon, because they don't actually tell you it. It's just like you're not supposed to do it. So basically, necking is like, you know, making out a hickey on your neck. Petting is like humping, dry humping, essentially.
Yeah. Like, and does that also count, like, if you're petting, like, does that mean like over the over the bra boob touching kind of stuff?
That's what I interpret it. It's like over jeans, rubbing the iron rod, and then like, you know, hand over boobies, like hand over shirt, touching boobies.
It's such a cringy way of saying, like, making out, essentially, right?
It's just weird. It's weird, and always made me think of, like, a pet. I was like,
ew.
Yeah.
Leave the pets out of this. And someone just wrote this, and I just included it because I thought it was funny. The words ward and stake are fucking dumb. Nobody outside of Mormondom ever knows what you're referring to if you mention a ward or a stake. And it's so true. If you say stake, people are so confused.
It's so true. It doesn't make sense. Again, when I'm like explaining to Nevermos, I come across, it's like, I don't know how I'm like, it's my ward, my stake, a church.
It's like where I go to church. Yeah, it's just too complicated to really get into.
Yeah.
Okay, this one I just and now I would like to turn the time over to
this is Sunday. Sacrament meeting. You have a talk, and when you finish, it's like, and now, or no, it's not even when you finish, it's whoever is conducting that day. So usually the first or second counselor in the bishopric or the bishop. And then they say like, oh, we have the announcements and da 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 da. Then we're going to sing the sacrament hymn, blah, 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 and pass the sacrament. And now our first speaker or blah, blah, blah will address us today. After which we will hear from Sister So-and-so. Following that, we will have our intermediate hymn number 307.
Oh, you're doing this way too well. Oh my God. Damn. Have you ever heard outside of Mormonism, we're going to turn the time over to? I don't think I've ever heard that in any kind of meeting. Have you?
No, I would never imagine. So I had a presentation yesterday, maybe like after my slides were done in the deck, being like, and now I turn it over to.
Turning the time over to Tim. And he's like, what? That was a weird way of saying that.
Oh my God, I'm going to start doing that. My next presentation, it's a company-wide one. I'll be like, and now I'll turn my time over to
you're going to get such a reputation. They're going to be like, that's the lady that says turn the time over. Okay. How about gird up your loins?
Oh, I hate this one. I hate it. And honestly, I don't really understand what it means even in Mormon terminology.
Doesn't it essentially just mean to like prepare? But it's a very weird way of saying it, like gird up your loins and go fight for the gospel kind of thing.
Yeah, very exactly. Weird. It's just weird. And it always is with like put on the armor of God.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And another one that like I didn't even think about this, but it was mentioned, the term prophet, seer, and revelator, because
that's a good one.
Yeah, I think most people know if you say the word prophet, people will know. But when you add in seer and revelator, they're kind of like, what is he seeing? What, you know, yeah. This seer and revelator added nonsense is very strange and uniquely Mormon.
And it makes it like it's almost like not Christianity, but like when I think of a seer or revelator, I'm thinking of like magical powers.
Same. Exactly. I mean, very much what Joseph Smith was going for, right?
I mean, like, he was tripping hard on whatever he was on looking in that hat. So
wee-oo.
Exactly.
Okay. How about the plan of salvation?
Oh my God.
And to me, yeah, I don't even think about this, but you say that to anyone else and they like, what?
What is the plan of salvation? Yeah, it was like ingrained in us that you always had to make sure that your life, that you were doing everything that you could do to maintain what, like a temple worthy card, whatever, so that you could have the plan of salvation, which is
so that you could be with God forever and be with your family forever.
And that, you know, this all ties in with the fact that Jesus, he knew that he, like, he chose this. And that's why we have the plan of salvation, because of him. And Satan wanted to give this, like, no agency. And because Christ said, no, I want them to have agency, we have the plan of salvation.
It's all so confusing when you sit back and look at it.
It's just weird.
Okay, this one is good. Active versus inactive.
Oh, that's so good. And I say it's far too often, and people are like, what are you saying?
It sounds like a piece of machinery.
Like, it's just weird. It's so weird when you take it out of context and without being Mormon. Like, and I still say it, because when people ask, how did you leave the Mormon church? I always go into, like, oh, you know, it was like a process, and it was like, okay, I was inactive for a little bit before I made the decision to, like, leave the church. And that's, like, inactive. And it's like, oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not common in the church, or, like, outside the church.
No. And even I, after leaving the church, I kind of forgot about this for a little while. And someone asked me at a wedding, and it was an all Mormon wedding. It was like, I wasn't obviously in the temple, but afterwards at the reception, and this woman was talking to me, and just kind of out of the blue, she goes, oh, are you active? And I, like, paused, because I, for a second, I thought she was asking me if I was physically active. I thought she meant, like, into sports.
Oh.
Like, are you into sports? And I was, like, kind of fumbling. And then I was like, oh, like, no, I put it together that it was religious, but I was just like, this is such a weird thing that Mormons just say. And even after being out of it for a few years, I was like, huh?
It's weird. It's a weird thing to say. Yes, like, you're active or inactive.
Yeah. Saying that you're eternally grateful instead of that you're just grateful.
Oh my God, that's always so eternally grateful. Oh. For all God. My blessings.
This one I loved, because they said the word prompted, as in, quote, I was prompted to reach out to you. Bitch, not every thought that comes into your mind is a signal from God. It's so true. How many times did you hear, like, I was prompted that maybe you needed to, like, hear from me, or I was prompted to give you this scripture, like,
Always. I mean, again, little Mormon Sarah, most of my journal entries were like, I felt prompted or inspired to reach out to so-and-so, and I did, and they were interested in talking to me about the church. No, they were just polite, bitch. Like, they weren't interested. They were like, this girl is weird. I actually like her, but then she brings up Mormon stuff, and I'm like, ah, she's all right, but then she's got all that Mormon shit in there.
Sweet little baby Sarah. I love it. Okay, so the term elder, it's just so pretentious and patriarchal. And also, we give it to 18-year-old boys. So true.
Elder, sister, brother, all of that is so weird.
It's very so weird and unique to Mormonism. What about NCMO, otherwise known as NICMO?
NICMO, oh my God. Non-committal makeout session. No, makeout. Yeah, non-committal.
Yeah, non-committal makeout, which, cringe.
Oh, guys, that is such a thing. It's especially at BYU.
I was gonna say, doesn't it basically just exist at BYU?
Yeah. And it was a whole thing, because, like, students at Utah Valley. What is the other one? Was it competitive?
UVU is Utah UVU. Valley University.
Mm-hmm. They would, like, be like, oh my God, people at BYU are, like, hiding the fact that they have, like, non-committal makeouts and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, we just do it. And we know that was always a thing. It was like, that was a division, which was so stupid and weird to me. And it was, like, seen as, like, oh, the girls who participate in that are just, like, skanky and are not wifey material.
Did anyone ever ask you, like, do you want a NICMO?
Yes.
What did you say?
I said no. I was so scared of boys, like, any type of, like, you know, this. Like, I was like, oh my God, if they touch me, I'm going to go to hell. Type thing. I'm so terrified of anything, like, sexual. Even though if you met me, which obviously Katie knew me during that time, I always was making sexual jokes. So people thought I was, like, an easy win.
So. You were like the cool, like I could have a sexual joke with Mormon. Yes. So I wouldn't have known.
No, I would never do anything.
I love it. Okay, what is the great and spacious building?
Oh, again, part of Lehi's dream. It's like the great and spacious building, which is where everyone's laughing, right? Or is it the opposite?
They're like laughing and partying and they're having a great time. They have all this food and presumably wine, and they're just loving their life in the great and spacious building. But apparently they're also evil and you're not supposed to go in there.
Yep.
Which I'm going to go in there. I'm not holding this cold rod outside.
No. Hey.
Warm that rod up. Now, this one I also found interesting, and it's come up when we were mimicking prayers, but praying with the words like thee, thou, and thy. Do other religious denominations do that?
No. Not that I know of.
Right. I'm sure it exists somewhere, but that is something that's very, very interesting. Like, from when you're a little baby, you're taught to speak in such a archaic way to supposedly your creator who loves you more than anything, and you can't just say, I love you. You have to say, I love thee.
Yeah, it's weird because I remember I would pray and like growing up with like, you know, Baptists and, you know, my grandmother and stuff like that. And I would always, it was weird because I was the one that was saying like thee and thou in prayers. Like it was just a bit odd. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember anyone else doing that.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, so to end this out, this, I just had never thought of this one before, and it tickled me so much. I'm excited to hear your thoughts. So,
oh no. Okay.
This is the term that is used a lot in like general conference talks when they're giving a quote that someone else said. They'll say the quote and then they go, close quote. And then they move on. And I had never realized, I don't think other people do that.
No, they don't.
Like, they'll say quote at the beginning, but then they'll give a sufficient pause at the end for you to realize that that's the quote and you're done. But Mormons and Mormon apostles say close quote.
And it's always this like cliffhanger. It's like a pause after. They always do the pause after.
It's so silly. It's so silly. It's so
ridiculous.
Also, so many.
I did like quickly look at Instagram because I wanted to see how many people submitted ones. One that I think is like so good and so Mormon is Ponderize.
Oh, Ponderize. So many God damn it.
Submitted this one.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to include all of them, but after a while I couldn't write them all down.
So
but
you guys,
Ponderize. That's not even a word.
No. It's not a word, you guys. It's not a word. And it makes me cringe because I have this whole like email thread with the subject line being Ponderized.
No, you don't.
With a certain Mormon missionary that I have mentioned before. And it's like, I had to just pull it up because I'm like, when was this? Good old 2015.
And can this be a Patreon episode?
Yes. Let's just do a Patreon on this, you guys. If you want to know the details, go check it out on Patreon.
That is too delicious. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah, didn't everyone's submissions, like every single one, I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. We could do like four episodes on it.
There's so many, you guys. Well done.
Because Mormon language truly is its own creature. It's bizarre.
It is.
And so no wonder people get the glazed over look when you're trying to explain something because the words make no sense.
Nope. Exactly.
But we know this language. Da, 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 da. I guess I can say I'm bilingual. I speak Mormonese.
Exactly. We are bilingual. We are fluent in Mormon language.
God. Oh. Well, thank you, everybody, for your submissions. And thank you, Sarah. And we'll be back. Yes, of course. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.